November 27, 2022. It's a Why for Pedro show.
Yeah, would you please recommend us in terms of recorded music? What do you suggest?
My music?
Yes.
The music that I like best or the music that I have recorded?
Yes, you have recorded. That's the point.
The music that I've recorded that I like best.
What are they?
Yeah, I don't know.
You know, there are lots of recorded music that's what you recorded, but recorded music.
I don't know. I know, it's hard to say.
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell you this, some of the best hasn't been recorded, so the recordings always, you know, recordings always make you Just a little bit. You tighten up, you know.
Otherwise, say a Japanese fan said, "Oh well, Mr. John Coltman said there is no best recorded." Well, what the ranks comes out. Well.
Pedro show, happy Sunday, and make it up for Start off the show, John Coltrane talking to Kazuaki Tsujimoto in Tokyo in 1966 about music of his own that he likes, that he has recorded. It's a difficult question, so interesting answer. And then we had the right from, because of the incredible invention of those Estonian software people with their Skype invention, from Brighton, Michigan, Vase, or maybe it's VASC.
We have people say quite a few different things about our name, so honestly, at this point, people just can call us whatever.
You guys know what an acronym is, right?
Oh, of course.
Female body inspectors, right? So is this name... See, what makes me think of acronym is because you got the asterisk in between.
Right. I can see how one would think that.
Yeah, because like periods, right? Like...
Right. And you're not the first one to think that, and you're going to like this. My old college roommate said the same thing. He's like, does this stand for anything? And I was like, no, it's not an acronym. And he's like, well, can I make it an acronym? And I was like, sure, what do you got? And he said, Very Aroused Stooges Enthusiast.
I like it. I like it. But, okay, let's say it ain't an acronym. How do you pronounce it?
Well, what do you say, JT? From the beginning, we called it Vaz, right?
Okay, Vaz, French. Okay, okay.
French.
No problem. We got a lot of words, right? Canoe, rendezvous.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so. Vase, you know.
Whatever. Who are we to control our fans if they want to call us Vase, you know?
Yeah. Well, look, I want to go through your three music journeys by himself before we get to the band thing. So, I got JT, Darren, and... Drew with me. Who wants to go first? Or you want,
Let's have JT go first.
All right.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. JT, bring your earliest musical recollection.
Earliest musical recollection would probably be my dad playing the Beatles, I don't know, like 20 years ago. They had a documentary. It's like an 8-part DVD, you know, one of those big package deals. And I just remember coming down from my room and, you know, seeing Paul McCartney sitting there talking about this guy, John Lennon, and I had no clue that that would kind of set me on my path of, you know, learning about the Beatles and listening to the Beatles. And then, you know, from there, it just goes Rolling Stones, all the British Invasion.
Well, let me ask you this, JT. Was there any instruments in that pad you grew up?
Yeah, my dad was a guitarist, so he had a lot of acoustic guitars laying around.
Did you jump on them?
What's that?
Did you jump on them?
I did, yeah.
Okay, now was it just fucking around and shit, or did maybe I go take lessons or try to learn the records or what?
It was definitely just screwing around. I can remember listening to Dick Dale at one point and just going, well, this guy plays on one string. Let me start with that.
That dude was bad. He also did trumpet. You know, speaking of records, first record you bought with your own money.
That's a great question. I'm going to
go. Well, when you're a kid, you ain't got a lot of money, so it's trippy, like, where you going to spend it, right?
Oh, yeah. The lunch money. Man, I'd probably...
Remember, it's a Watford Pedro show. There's no hard questions. There's no wrong answers.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to say Nirvana.
Which one? The Bleach? Or Nevermind?
In Utero is definitely
Okay. And the first gig you went and saw?
First gig was Diana Ross, my dad. Yeah, had a realtor.
That lady's got bikes. Look, Mike Jackson obviously dug, you know, her nose.
Oh, yeah.
But incredible pipes. Man, that was a great man. Buddies and Sprames. Okay, let me ask you about school. Were you in the marching band or the choir or shit like that?
No, I wasn't. I definitely had a respect.
Well, I asked that because, you know, a lot of schools got rid of their music programs.
Yeah. It's a terrible thing.
That's why Flea started that Silver Lake Music Conservatory. He went back to Fairfax where he played trumpet. They had no more music program.
Yeah.
Fucked up, right?
It is. Okay. It's one of the worst things.
So now, but you, in a way, you had the touch from your pop's guitars there in the pad. Now, what about after school? Not like graduate, but in the afternoon, the bedroom band, the garage band, the basement band. Did you do that?
Yeah, we. I didn't really start until this band, but Drew, who's actually my cousin, we're both the guitarists, so I have early recollections of going to Michigan, because I'm originally from California, Southern California.
What part? I'm in the harbor, Pedro.
Orange County, Irvine.
Oh, see. Yeah, Irvine, okay. There's a big college here, Anteaters.
yeah.
I got to do a Jandik gig. I don't know if you know about this cat Jandik, but it was trippy. This band nice. Shitter, Hank Rollins, was in the front staring, didn't blink, you know, for an hour.
Stone cold.
Okay. And so, Drew was the fucking, gateway cat. Was he already doing music and then brought you in?
Kind of the opposite.
Okay. I don't know. I wasn't there. I'm working on the mind reading, but in the meantime, right. Use some words, please.
Well, I think JT and I helped each other because, like, JT introduced me to certain music, but I made the step to, like, be in a band with my high school friends before, like, this current band. So, like, he gave me some of, like, the insight.
But let's get – now it's your turn. This is a good – what do they call that in the film business? Sugui?
Is that? I don't know. I'm not in the film business.
I think it's a French word. You say it segue.
Well, we should know it then.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Enough joking. Drew, bring your fucking earliest musical recollection, please.
Well, my single first memory with music, I must have been like 3 or 4 years old.
Yeah.
And my older cousin popped in some earphones in the first generation iPod, like in 2004, and played
I got one of those still.
It's
got like fucking 6,000 songs on it. They work. You know, they stopped making that shit.
She played some song called Party Like a Rockstar by Shop Boys.
Uh-huh.
And that's not a group that I hold to any high standard or attribute any influence to, but I have this single memory of listening to it. But a little more importantly, after that, my mom taught physical education classes. And then, so she had to, like, create her own playlists to do that. So I would, like, ride around and run errands with her in the car, like, when I was just a little guy.
Sweat to the oldies kind of trip, right?
Kind of, yeah. I mean, there was some.
What was his name?
Like,
what was his name? Richard Simmons.
Yeah, Richard Simmons.
I think he had this, like, sweat to the oldies. Jane Fonda, too. I mean, even Jack LaLanne, when I was a boy, I think something about doing exercise to music, or doing fucking anything to music, really. Mm-hmm. Now, did you have the guitars in your pad like your cousin?
No, I didn't grow up in a music family really at all. I just kind of developed it after. In fact, the reason I even wanted to play guitar was JT's dad as well, because
we
were like a family vacation, and he was just playing some, you know, Hotel California type.
Eagles. I think that singer is Michigan, Glenn Frey.
Yeah, he is.
He was. Yeah. I think he passed away. Look, what was the first record you bought with your own money, Drew?
It must have been some punk shit, because when I was 16 and I first got my car, that was all I gave a shit about. So
yeah.
It was either something Negative Approach or Threat.
They're Detroit too, right? And they're laughing hyenas, Ann Arbor. I remember staying there with the singer man, John, big man.
John Brandon, yeah. You know, my friend Evan, who I went to high school with, who was the singer in my first band, actually had dinner with John Brandon last night.
Whoa. Oh. John gave us the fucking Three Stooges poster that was in the back of the Minuteman van Dodge Ram that D. Boom was killed in.
Oh, wow.
Oh, damn.
I mean, you know, it's just tricky. What it means is just connects everywhere. What was the first gig you saw, Drew?
First live act I ever saw was Noel Gallagher's High Flying Birds. And
that's the Oasis guy?
Yeah. So he was cool. And then.
No, I met him. I met him helping the Portal for Pyro guys, and he was very cool. His brothers could sing good, but maybe offstage kind of trippy guy.
So,
and what about you with school? Were you in the marching band or the choir or shit like that?
You know, I wasn't, but I was playing poker last night with some friends, and there were some people there from high school that I haven't seen since high school, 4 or 5 years. And there's this one kid there, and just last night we're reminiscing about how in sixth grade, and so in middle school, we had a choir class, and me and this one kid were just total delinquents and made the teachers experience a living hell. And I don't know why, but you know, it's hard to get in the mind of a sixth grader. I mean, I guess I was in choir in sixth grade, but after that, I didn't involve myself in band at all, really, no.
Okay. So, yeah, so it's the connect with JT is important in JG's pop. Look, I want to play Good as Dead.
Cool. Let's do it.
Yeah. Yeah. color, technicolor. Fly with the tempo. Cause it don't go too slow. Technicolor, technicolor.
In the red
sun sinking into a well way, 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 way out in blue jail, in salty blue jail. Seaweed beard from bone tree. Oh, you're neptonic, cacophonic poetry. I'll do nothing, stool you, nautical ghoul, while the dolphins do your work and the mermaids stir your gruel. Seaweed beard from bone tree.
Let the white caps and the coelacanths and the octopus crawl and the nautilus fall and the dolphins and the whale write your poetry and sit on your salty do-nothing stool, you barnacle ghoul, seaweed beard foam bone tree. Octopus, crawl up your salty blue wall. Tie your bows and polish your abalone. Seaweed beard from bone tree. Seaweed beard from bone tree.
Rotted in the meat of his clothes.
For Pedro Show, that started that chunk of music off with Voss doing Good as Dead. And then we had Ace Escapism with Walking in the Dark, Noemi Bucci with Prelude for Rational Freshness, Hot Pursuit of Happiness, that's Tom's new project, Get Together, Make It Better, Disciplina Kichma, sorry. It's like Straight Up Spine or some shit. I've got those Technicolor eyes. You know, he's still coming out of that coma. This is a great bass player out of Belgrade. Brother Koya. I got to spend hours with him. One time he came to the Stooges gig in Belgrade and got to spend time there too. And then I played a shooting guy where you do target practice indoors. It was also a club. It was called the Gun Club. In the back of the stage, all where the bullets go, you know, it was fucked up. But he's a beautiful man. Then we had Captain Beefheart with something really rare, like him at home with the tape recorder on and whistling and hollering. Seaweed Beard Foam Bone Tree. Of course, right? What else are you going to call it? And finally, Noisuka, While We Were Sleeping. Okay. I think it's Darren's turn.
Oh, yeah.
Please bring your earliest musical memory.
I remember being, like, really young, being, like, 4 years old, I think, and the only music I really heard, I mean, I wasn't really, like, paying attention to it, but I remember one time, I think my family, we took a trip to, like, Cedar Point or something like that, and my sister was playing, like, her music on the car stereo, and I remember her playing some, like, Eminem or something like that, and I just didn't, like, I was, like, talking shit about it. Like, being 4 years old.
Yeah, all right. Critical mind.
This sucks.
Yeah, let's get on the other side of the eight-mile road, right?
Yeah. I've come around to rap music now, but right. I just...
I mean, music is music. The whole idea of genre, I think, is so fucked up.
Yeah.
Right? It's all beats and rhythms and words and melodies and all this stuff. And then you got to put in these little boxes and fuck that shit. Yeah. A bunch of gulag and Berlin Wall. So what was the first record you bought with your own money?
That was probably way later.
That's all right. 4 years old, you ain't got a lot of money anyway.
Yeah. I think I was, after I was able to drive, the first physical record I ever bought.
Well, piece of music where you had to spend your own money.
Yeah. Probably... I listened to the Black Keys a lot when I was in high school, so I probably bought one of their albums on Apple Music or something. Okay. That was probably like one of the first albums I bought.
Poor lonely kick drum, no bass player.
More
room in the boat, though. Okay. So pluses and minuses, like most of the shit in life. And what was the first gig you saw?
I was 12 years old, and I was 11, I saw Darius Rucker and Lady Antebellum. I was just there because my sister wanted to go to that show. But the next year, the one that I like to claim being my first show that I've seen is Aerosmith. I was 12 and I saw them.
I saw ZZ Top blow them off before they were wearing the pink cowboy suits.
Really? Wow.
But now that all three of you have told me your first gigs, I'll tell you my first gig I saw with D Boone. It was T-Rex in 1973.
Oh,
we were 14 years old. It was the Slider Tour.
That's my favorite albums ever.
Wow.
And, yeah, that's a great record, huh?
Oh, my God.
It's unbelievable.
Everything
that's
about it, from the picture to open it up with that orange, and then the sound that Tony Visconti got, the most fat snare. Love it. And then the turtle guys, Flo and Eddie singing background. It's so good. It's just so good. Anyway, that was my first gig. Okay, so we got all that. Well, no, we got. How did you get in playing music? So, like, you know, like I asked JT and Drew, not graduating, but in the afternoon, you know, the basement band, the bedroom band, the garage band. Did you do that?
So I started. My dad played guitar.
Okay, so there was in the house there was some guitars.
Yeah. I always had an interest in them, but I always thought it'd just be something that'd be too complicated to play. But so I did the piano when I was in like elementary school, and I did some like little rehearsals.
Did you
and
have
stuff.
To do that?
Playing Yankee Doodle. And
no, but shit. Did you have to go through the thing of the piano lessons where some mean person comes to your pad and makes you play shit you don't want to play?
Yeah, I didn't.
I've had people on the show that almost quit music because of that experience.
Yeah. I didn't. I only did it because, like, the other, like, cool kids were doing it at school, so. Yeah. I started doing it. I did it for a little bit.
The cool kids at your school were playing piano.
Yeah. So I thought.
Well, it could have been Alabama sausage whistle. I mean.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
Okay. So it was your pop. So parents are a big deal. That's beautiful. That is really beautiful because I think there was a time with rock and roll, especially. Yeah, you got into music to be away from your parents.
Yeah.
But, you know, shit changes. Fuck it. It's good. So let's get now. How does Vaz come together?
Oh man. Well, it was just when I told you earlier about how I started playing guitar because of JT's dad playing songs around the campfire.
Right.
JT and I made a promise then that we were going to be in a band, and so then. Flash, a few years later, JT moves from California to Michigan to go to Michigan State. He's a couple years older. I'm still in high school.
I think that's
basically it, honestly.
No, it's Lansing, right?
Yeah, East Lansing.
Spartans, Magic Johnson, Lakers, of course.
Magic Johnson, that's correct.
White and green, I remember their colors. In fact, I played the campus once, opening up for Beastie Boys.
Holy
shit. Wow. That's actually East Lansing, right? Yeah.
East Lansing.
I know it's a big deal. You know, it's not where you're from; it's where you're at, right? But I interrupt you. I'm sorry. So you guys promise yourself you're going to make this band, move back to California.
As soon as he came here, we just knew we had to get rolling. So I went to community college for a semester, and since we were both here and. I had just graduated from high school. It was about that time to make those first steps. So I just took the first long-haired kid I saw in community college. I went up and asked if he played an instrument, and he played bass, and he had a friend who played drums, and that was it. But
really?
Those were a couple other guys. So
just by looks. Like, you don't even know the fucking name or anything, right?
No, I mean, he had long hair, and I was just like...
No, that was like in the old days of punk, you know? Some guy was brave enough to cut his hair all goofy shit. Maybe
he yeah.
That's how we ended up SSTOO2. We didn't know those guys. We started handing out flyers at a gig. It's weird how that shit happens with, like, no, just kind of a coincidence, huh?
Basically, it's kind of how Dave Alexander joined the Stooges, right?
Well, he was also Ronnie.
Yeah,
but I think he was also Ronnie's friend.
Mm-hmm.
And, because this is what Egg told me, he had a Volkswagen. He's the only dude who had a car.
He was talking to us about how he would like walk down the street all the time, like after school, like next to the Ashton house. And one day, like Scotty was like, "Hey, you ever notice that guy who's walking around?" or something like that. Okay. And so maybe a combination of both. I'm not sure. They're too mythical to really nail it down. You know.
You know, it's David Michael Alexander. My name is Michael David Watt. Ain't that a trip?
Yeah.
Look, we're at the end of the first hour, November 27, 2022, edition Watt Pedro Show. Special guests, Voss. Hold tight for hour two. November 27, 2022, it's second hour, Watt from Pedro.
from no better parts. My heart knows better than yours.
Wofford Pedro Show. Started off the second hour with Vaz doing Flatliner. Then we had a brand new from Lisa Cameron, Primary Mystical Experience, and Raquel Bell. This is a whole side. It's a two-song record, right? One on each side. This is a side called Orb. Then Body Kite with Amazingly Graceful Listical. Damn. Amazingly Gracefulistical from Body Kite. Numb Tongue with Front. Samuel Locke Ward, Stand Tall, out of Iowa City. For a while there, they lived in, what's those Quad Cities? There's one with a D.
Where?
Between Illinois and Iowa and Wisconsin and stuff. Yeah, the Cheap Tricks from one of them. Rock Island. One of them's got a D, and for a little bit, because the Ashtons lived in Manassas for a while or something, in Virginia, and then between them moving to Ann Arbor, there was a little stop, Dubuque. Dubuque, that's what they told me. You understand, I was finally the youngest guy in the band, and my ears were like the size of elephants, like sponges. Yeah, I love spieling with them cats. I love it. Let's get back to Vaz. Okay, so you got your band picked. Now, what's the first prac like?
The first practice was me wearing orange sunglasses because I wanted to be Ron Ashton more than anyone else. And
yeah, I had some
just
of them.
Came out of their basement and jammed a Yes song. You know that it's like a three-part Yes song. The ending is Worm. What's the Starship Trooper?
Yeah.
So we're jamming Yes. We're jamming.
Yes. I'm not the biggest Yes fan, so I'm sorry. They could all play like motherfuckers. I ain't saying that.
Oh yeah, yeah. Prague is an interesting
and
sound.
Here's a trippy thing I found out about Yes. It was actually the bass player's band.
Yeah,
I mean, that might not sound stupid these days, but in arena rock days, bass is where you put your retarded friend. It was like right field in Little League.
Oh, yeah, right field, that's right.
Like, nobody's going to hit the fucking ball out there.
Oh, yeah. Right. I remember looking at the lineups and seeing that kid who would go right field out, right? The lineup's hard.
When the punk movement, though, was different, for one thing, it was club music, and you could actually hear the bass. You know, there was a lot of things going against bass, just with arena rock, you know, it was fucked up. But anyway, so the first prac is jamming a Yes song. Does everybody know it, or just one guy knows it and everybody jumps on board?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it was a pretty easy progression, honestly. So I just played it, and then that was it. We probably played it for about 15 minutes.
Well, I'll tell you, topographical oceans are like roundabout or shit. That's not like...
we couldn't do that.
I know people who did that shit. You know, in the days of copying songs off records... Man, no one we knew in the 70s wrote their own songs here in Pedro. Everybody copied off records.
Right.
Yeah, it was just the way it was. But you knew from that first prac that the band was going to click, right?
Well, we knew that, like, JT and I knew that this is where we needed to be, right? Just, like, playing music. Yeah. So I think I don't even know.
We knew we needed a singer at the
end. Yeah.
Who was where was the prac at?
It was in Pinckney, so another suburb of Ann Arbor.
And what, like a somebody's pad or a practice?
Yeah, someone's house, yeah, in the basement.
Our first drummer's basement.
Okay, the stick man with... Yeah, you know what? Usually the prac pads aren't the drummer's pads, so you don't have to move your shit.
There's also stuff about that, because they can't move their gear. It's like you got...
In fact, that's one... You know, I've had the same prac pad now 36 years, and I just got Perkins... my buddy Steve Perkins, just to get me a drum set so, you know, they can just come in and start playing. So I know that pick up. Okay, so what about the material? Do you guys decide to write?
At the very beginning, you mean?
Well, not beginning. You did a song at first, but then what do you do?
Yeah, well, we wanted to play live more than anything.
Yeah.
So we didn't want to, like... be a band for like 6 months writing songs and then play live. Like, we wanted to like challenge ourselves and like basically just like schedule a DIY live show for like 6 weeks out from like the band's conception. So we ended up having to do some covers. So I think we did two
originals, I think.
That is right.
I had a couple originals just kind of conceived that were still very new, but we knew we needed a couple originals to get friends to show up, you know.
Yeah, so, you know, in the old days, that's what got you not hired, because they wanted you playing all the shit that was on the radio. I want to play Fired and Free.
Cool.
Three.
Afro Pedro show. So let's talk about that first gig. How'd it go?
It was good and it was bad. The bad was, you know, just any band's first gig, there's equipment problems, you know.
Oh, God, yeah.
But the good was that we had the energy. We broke the guitar.
Uh-huh.
Whoa.
Make of that as you will. And then I remember throwing a piece of masking tape, not at anybody, but just throwing it behind me, just, I don't know.
Well,
there was some drama with the audience.
Yeah, well, we invited all our friends.
Look, so I come from the show. I've had used condoms thrown at me, okay? I know all about. I'll tell you, batteries hurt, especially the D ones.
Oh, Jesus.
You know what? I spaced and forgot to talk about the music from the last chunk. We started off with Voss doing Fired and Free. Boris Hoff after that with Expiro. Larry Bose, Last Night Drinking. And then I See a Tree from Ray Shin. You know, we forgot to talk about how did you get the name?
That's JT right there.
Yeah, the name, it was just kind of like, I looked up to the Stooges and Nirvana, their logos and their name. The logo was the big thing. I knew we needed something in my eyes that would pop, because a lot of bands locally, the logos are always kind of, the music's great, the logo sometimes doesn't appeal to me. So I just kind of screwed around with letters, more so not words, but just letters, thought of what's four letters and a simple word like KISS and a great logo like KISS, you know, regardless of the music, they have good branding or whatever. So found Voss.
Speaking of which, what about what Raymond did for Black Flag with the fucking four bars?
Yeah, just
iconic.
But isn't it icono? Like, right? It's supposed to be a flag waving.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, and it just ended up being bars.
Okay, so you come up with, yeah, or Henry and the Four Towels. I remember this kid telling me, yeah, you know Henry and the Four Towels? Yeah, okay. So you say you actually came up with the logo and then the name Voss?
Yeah, I was screwing around with fonts. I didn't have any, I just had basic pages. I was like, well, I don't have any Illustrator apps. I'm not good on the laptop. What's something in a font that works? And I, you know, the show MASH, obviously, with the asterisks, was kind of big on it.
Oh, yeah, but that is an acronym. I think it means some kind of field hospital.
Yeah, so that's where I guess we're different from them. But that was kind of the inspiration for that. It was definitely less to do about what the name Voss means and just kind of the sound and look of it.
Well, when I think of Voss, I think of something that holds something.
Hmm. It's the
vessel, right? It's the vessel. It's the boat, whatever.
There you go.
I think it's a good name.
I've never heard that before. I like that interpretation.
Well, my pop was a machinist mate in the Navy. So I'm kind of polluted. Just a little bit. In fact, that's what I call my Econoline, the boat, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's just, you know, and I never had my pad, right? I had decks and overheads and bulkheads. All these other people had floors and ceilings. And, yeah, I chowed at 1830, you know. It's I think your pop wants you to be your own man, but it still kind of rubs off. Look how important your pops were in your family. Also, our ma's was really important to the Minutemen. D. Boone's ma, Georgie's ma. Look, we're at the end of the second hour. November 27, 2022, Dishwap Pedro Show special guest Voss. Hold tight for our three. November 27, 2022, it's the third hour of the Watt for Pedro Show.
Oh.
Wofford Pedro Show, start the third hour, Vaz doing Choked on Colors, which I've been just enlightened to the fact it's a demo, people, so that's why I sound a little different than the other Vaz, but we're going to check out what that is. Then brand new from Tropical Fuckstorm, is one of the only Stooges songs I never got to do in those 125 months helping them guys. Man, we never did it. And the other one we never did was We Will Fall. Those two tunes we never did. But all the rest we did. The other three albums, yeah. And then finally, Viv Cornham and Al Margolis. Al Margolis from Chester, New York. Voice / violin number two. So, why is Choked on Colors the demo? And then all these other, they're from two different batches, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we just haven't gotten in the studio for Choked on Colors yet, simply.
Okay. You know, you said something about first drummer and something about getting a singer. So the band member thing, enlighten me.
Yeah, so we'll just start with Darian, because Darian's here, obviously, right now, and he was introduced to us by our first drummer through, like, a friend of a friend. And so I remember the day we were in that basement, and Darian walks down, and then our first drummer goes, "What's up, Darius?" Gets his name wrong.
And what an introduction.
And that was the introduction. But then our singer, we actually found online, because he had just left another local band and we liked his voice, so we reached out to him. And the first day we met him,
and when you mean local, you mean Brighton?
I do mean Brighton. Mm-hmm. So we met him for the first time, picked him up from his house and took him to this radio interview we already had scheduled, and we played I Want to Be Your Dog, and then we played Aneurysm by Nirvana the first day we met, and we didn't practice either of those songs. We just sent it to him.
And, you both had common ground with those bands, and so, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
sometimes
sure.
I'll do gigs that they want me to come into town and play with people I've never played with, and say, okay, let's do a set of Stooges, because, you know, it's like lingua franca.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's the way to do it. I mean, we'd be the same way. The Stooges for us are the linking force
continue on with this experience. So the first drummer's on his way out. Does he know he's on his way out?
Yeah, that was his own accord.
Yeah, he was in another band, so it's kind of a mutual thing. And
he could make more time for the other band. Okay.
Yeah, one of those, you know, just a time spent sort of thing. Sure. And then then it was us four, and then we found a new drummer, and that's who we recorded these. We have six songs out. We recorded those with him, but
where?
Yes, we recorded them in a suburb of. It's called Waterford. It's
like kind of Clintonville.
Kind of near Pontiac.
And how long? Pontiac, Elvin Jones.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think Madonna, too. Look, how long did it take you to record that EP?
Yeah, the five of the six songs were recorded within about a month and a half span last year, and then we did a sixth song earlier this year, which took a little bit longer, three months just for that one song of recording, I'd say. So it's kind of the keel in our side, or the thorn in our side, I mean.
You know what Orson Welles learned us? No wine before it's time, right? Those fucking two bum Chuck Paul Masson brothers shit. I want to play Johnny B. Jones.
Johnny goes, Johnny was the way. Thank you. Thank you, Elvis Mendoza, Mike Pagano. Beautiful
Watch for Pedro Show. Last music for this edition. Chunk started off with Johnny D. Jones from Voss. Notice how the sound goes back to that other sound, people? You know, that's why you eat different kinds of chow. It's not all the same. Then we had Faustito with Soul Dressing / Little Johnny Jewel. Look, now, I know Little Johnny Jewel, right? It's the first talking televisions, yeah. It was like Susie Q from Creedence, where part A was on the one side, part B on the other side. Yeah. Incredible. But I got to talk to those guys about that stuff, and they didn't use amps. They went straight to a four track. They didn't know about microphone.
Really?
Yeah, that's why it sounds so like little wiry and brittle and shit.
Damn. Is this television you're talking about?
Yeah, Tom Verlaine, Dick Lloyd. And Fred Smith had just joined the band, so it wasn't Richard Hell. He'd already left and started playing with Johnny Thunders. Then this is First Street Green, Arts for Art, Part 3 of 3, live October 8, 2022. Ava Mendoza, Mike Baghetta, both great guitarists, just playing out there on the street, improvising guitar. Okay, so how many gigs was with the old lineup?
We probably had, I don't know, a number wouldn't be as easy as to say. We played with that original lineup probably 2 to 4 shows a month for about 6 months.
So about half a year.
Singer and kept that pace for another like couple, and then our bassist and drummer started to fall apart. And so then we got Darian and Christian around the same time. So about 6 to 8 months with two to four shows a month.
What's his name, Christian?
Yeah, Christian, our singer.
Yeah, he's from the Recommend, from the... No, how did you meet him? You didn't explain that to me.
Oh, yeah, we found him. It was just, I think, Facebook.
Oh, he's the guy that was online that was quitting a band?
Yeah.
Okay. And then the bass you found, the new drummer...
Yeah, he was found via, I think, BandMix, you know, one of those new apps where you just kind of search for musicians. We found each member in this band a different way, which is kind of a cool thing.
Some of it was Family Connect, some of it was like Total Stranger Connect. That's life.
Exactly.
That's life, you know, variety and all that kind of stuff. Explain to me the Voss songwriting process, because I heard somebody say I had two songs. So is it just people bring in tunes to the band and everybody jams on them, or do people make demos and people try to realize those demos? What's the process?
It's every single song has been about as different as you can imagine. So you can either, I mean, you can ask about a specific song if you're interested, but I mean, there have been instances where JT's come in with 95% of the song. And that's what it ends up being. There's instances where we have songs that have come straight from improvised jamming, where each of our parts are very similar to those all that were improvised on the spot. And then any which way in between, someone comes in with a skeleton, bass riff, guitar riff, vocal melody. It's you name it. We write songs.
And what happens with those riffs and stuff? They serve as like launch pads, like springboards, so the rest of the band jumps on.
Yeah.
So a lot of writing in the prac pad.
I would say definitely a lot of that. It just would kind of depend on, okay, are we writing from scratch? Are we writing from a skeleton? Are we writing
from
a song?
You want to know about scratch, right? You know, when the Stooges, Psychedelic Stooges, were signed, they had no songs. Their gigs were 45-minute jams. When you're listening to Not Right on the first album, and they say no, because he starts playing through that part. They never even practiced it. That's the first time they're running through the tune.
Crazy.
I love it. That's why we wouldn't have a movement without those cats. I mean, they were ball busts. And then they were listening to all kinds of stuff, right? Speaking of Dave Alexander, that bass line to Little Doll, Pharoah Sanders, the middle of Upper Egypt, Lower Egypt.
Yeah,
same lick. Yeah. What about the snare on one for TVI, you know, Motown? It's just all these different things. It's just beautiful. What's you guys' next plan?
I think it's really these demos, the Choked on Colors demo. We're looking to go in and record that and just keep the momentum of putting out music and writing and playing. I think it's those three things. We're big on playing live. You know, we love just, you know, the feeling of music. It's important to not look at it as a band and just to express ourselves too. So,
music is a lifeline with Watt.
Okay. It is here very much with us too. It's amazing.
Now, do you guys have your own website?
We do. We're in the process of getting it remodeled just because these next songs we put out, we want to have.
What's URL?
It was bandvoz.com, but we're going to be changing that. So as of right now, we don't have a URL. Okay. As weird as that sounds.
So you're probably on the corporate fucking, yeah. But that's,
oh, yeah.
That's all right. So people go look from there, use a search engine. It's V*A*S*E.
That's correct.
The asterisks are only in the middle, people. They're not on the ends.
Oh, yeah, that's a bit. It's like MASH.
Yeah. MASH wasn't an acronym.
For people, put them on the ends, which I wouldn't get upset for.
You get that, an album worth done, right? These demos and whatever turn into what's going to be an album. Will you guys come back on the show and we can play the whole fucking album and talk about what has happened in between?
That sounds awesome.
That'd be great.
Thank you so much. And we got to thank Kathy Ashen for the connect, right?
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Kat. Big love. People, it's been November 27, 2022. This is what Peter should keep you powdered, right?